Welcome to the Awaken Podcast. We are so happy that you have decided to join us. Hopefully, you will find the next few minutes challenging and refreshing as we consider together how God is asking us to respond to His grace. If you are listening because you are unable to join us at our physical location, thank you for keeping in step with us, and we will look forward to seeing you in person next Sunday. If you are joining us from outside of Anchorage, then please drop us a line and let us know where you are listening in from. We would love the opportunity to connect with you. If you are exploring faith for the first time or just trying to figure out what Awaken is about, please don't hesitate to drop us a line and introduce yourself. We welcome any question you might have about life, the Christian faith, or Awaken Church. May God be with you as you listen.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Really quickly, we had a discussion. I just want to just remind you, you're not going to scare me if you yell out something like amen or shout at a preacher or anything like that, right? We had a discussion this morning, and we were like, you know, sometimes I feel like reserved, like in a box. And just your voice and opening up, what it does when you hear something that maybe it's not because I said it, right? Let's just, when you say amen, you're not saying it to me, but something that God is speaking through me to you, and it's just, what it, that's what's going on, right? It's just the Holy Spirit just dapping it up right there, just like that. Like, oh, amen. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. So all that to say is, I'm giving you each two or three amens, shout it, speak it, preach it. Woo, that was for me. You can stand up, point at someone, go, hey, that was for you? Yeah, you know. Yeah, there you go. You can go for it. I will not feel bad whatsoever at all. My name is Lonnie, and I am not Pastor Levi, obviously. There's some similarities, gray shirts. Yep. But my assignment today is to preach a message. I'm really excited about it. That's your one. You got two more. There you go. See? You know how easy that is? Is the hammer? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right? Can you actually do this too? Can you pass these around? As I'm... So, I'm going to try not to hit my hand. That was close. The first time, I'm going to share this too. The first time I remember using a hammer, I got a job. I was about 19, 20 years old, right? And I was working roofing, flat roofing. It was boring. But, you know, the characters that work usually on those shifts are pretty interesting. So there's a lot of people watching going on. But when I first started, I just jumped right in, and there was a line of nails that I needed to nail down. And so I started hammering, but I was doing this right here, right? Just like that. Everybody was laughing at me for obvious reasons. They're like, man, look, you don't know how to hammer. Like, what are you doing? And what they did not know was that I never had a father to teach me how to use a hammer. Dayon Doty came over to me out of the hole. Everybody there came over to me, and he was like, yo, bro, you don't do it like that. And you might recognize his name. His son is the one who hit the game winner against South at the conference. If you guys are some basketball heads here, but of course South would get the victory, right? We got some South people here. But Dayon Doty came over to me, and he showed me how to hit the hammer correctly, and I felt invincible after that. So I say that to say that there's people walking around and in your neighborhood, kids and young boys and girls, and you don't know the impact that you have over them, right? So just keep that in mind. So whenever I hear this sound, I immediately think of that construction site, hammering in the nails for that flat roof and whatnot. And I don't know about you, maybe you are someone who works in the slope, and this just, when you hear this, this just takes you back to your slope work, or just reminds you there. And maybe you're someone who has jacked up projects because you try to do it yourself from YouTube, right? For now on, I will always hire a plumber, for obvious reasons, but maybe that takes you to that, hearing this sound, this hammer on this nail. I would like to submit a different thing for you to remind. So the next time you ever hear this, clanging to this, something that you can think of. Sometimes I think about, okay, where was the click, click moment in some of the disciples, right? So just picture this with you. I'm a really imaginative person. So Jesus is going through this process and he's about to be crucified. And what we know about, you know, the upbringing of the children of Israel and the Jewish people is that the boys, for sure, by the age of 12, 14-ish, they probably had the first five books of the Bible memorized, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. Is that the first five?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And a lot of girls were pretty. They knew it. Maybe they didn't have it memorized like the boys did, but a lot of them were studying it as well. And then they would also have a pretty good sound understanding, being able to reference from memory some of the minor prophets, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Isaiah, all of those books. And so I wonder if there was just one person when Jesus was getting his hands and feet nailed to the cross, I wonder if they had a click, click moment, right? When they saw that taking place and they heard it, and then they immediately thought of maybe Isaiah 53:5, where it says where he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Or maybe in Psalm 22:16, when it talks about how it's prophesying about how this crucifixion is going to take place, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. So hopefully for the next time that you ever hear this sound, you'll be reminded of that. By the way, scholars believe that between 7 and 9-inch nails is the size of the nail that would gone through his hands or his wrists and his feet. Those nails that is being passed around, take a look at it for a second as it's going around, right? And just compare it to your hands. Just think about it. I think it does something different when you have something in your hand and you're literally looking like, oh, this, what? Like, our sins is what put him on the cross. You know, one of the songs, I love it, this, between what Caleb was saying in the beginning and some of the songs, we did not talk at all, but it was right on point to what I'm going to be preaching about today. One of the songs said this, "It is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more," talking about our sins, right? That Jesus took that for us. So the conversation that we're going to be having today is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. So I'm going to answer a couple of questions in this time. Pastor Levi said I'd get until 2 o'clock. I'm just joking. I wouldn't do that to you. We'll be out by 1:30. Here's a couple of questions. Is the gospel relevant? Does the Bible have any hope for our day? And how should we be presenting the good news to our friends these days, right? There's not a lot of Christians walking around like doing miracles. It's not like it was back then where you're just like literally looking and, oh man, that guy just literally got healed in front of me in my eyes. Like his outward appearance completely changed and he was restored. What do miracles look like today? A couple weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday, Pastor Levi preached and he referenced and used Acts chapter 2, verses 14. And we're going to carry on to passage Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 40. So you can start turning to your Bibles and getting there. And whatever version of the Holy Bible that you read, that's the version you should be reading, right? I know that a lot of people read NLT. I'm trying to transition over. I have an ESV. I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying. I'm getting there. I'm almost there. But in this story, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, just to kind of catch you up just a little bit, what just happened is the Holy Spirit fell, and people were speaking in different languages, right? People were literally talking in a language that they had no business talking in, and someone else is recognized like, yo, that's my language. And they're actually saying that in a different language too. And so it looks like complete chaos. And then Peter's addressing them, and he says, listen, everybody. This moment that we're having right now, this was prophesied about. And he reminds some of them, because it was mixed with Jews and Gentiles, and informs others of what Joel said. He's like, you guys remember this? Joel was saying that our sons and daughters weren't going to prophesy, and our young men are going to see visions, and our old men are going to dream dreams. He's like, you guys remember that? Yeah, this right now, everything that he's saying, this is taking place right now. And everybody's, I could imagine everybody kind of looking around like, oh, what? Is it really? Seriously? But they're talking in a different language. And you're like, what are you saying? And everybody's just confusion, right? And he says, furthermore, the Christ, you remember, you know, Jesus, right? The one that God sent and that he's been using. The one that did all these miracles. Remember that Jesus? And everybody's like, yeah, yeah. Remember him, the one that we passed over to the hands of the lawless to murder? Do you remember? You remember that Jesus? Everybody's like, yeah. You remember how God resurrected him? Do you remember that? And everybody's like, yeah. Even that was prophesied about. And he goes on to talk about how David talked about how that whole circumstance is going to take place years prior. So what he's trying to do is get them to recognize that everything going on, it's not craziness, it's not a bunch of chaos, but it's things that had to take place, that the scriptures have been talking about this moment. We are finally here. He ends it with a cherry on top. He says this in Acts 2:36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Lord and Messiah. We're going to read in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 40. Can you put that up on the, there you go. I dropped my pen. Peter's words pierced their hearts, right? This is in 2:37. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And verse 40 says this, and Peter continued preaching for a long time. Someone say amen. Amen. Oh, that's where you guys say amen at? Okay. 1:30 it is. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So question number one, is the gospel relevant? Yes, the gospel is relevant. Oh, there you go. It is relevant. In Acts 2:37, what we just read, it says that Peter's words pierced their hearts. And I just want to hold that for a second. Pierce their heart. Peter's words pierced their hearts. What specifically did Peter say that pierced their hearts? Well, Peter actually presented the gospel to them when he was explaining everything that was taking place. Right? I'll actually read what he said. I'm sorry I didn't give, you guys can look this up or write it down to look up later. Don't take my word for what it says in the Bible. You have a pen and paper and you have your own Bible. You can look it up for yourself, right? But in Acts chapter 2, verses 22, and this is kind of reviewing of what I talked about, what happened when he was explaining to everybody. And part of that, he says this, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan of foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He's giving them the gospel, and this is what pierced their hearts. I actually have a hard time, I don't know if you're with me with this, is for the longest time, and even now sometimes, I have a hard time, if I'm being completely honest, like truly understanding, is it the power of the gospel, is it in the words of being able to say it to somebody, or is them being able to recognize everything that takes place and the beauty of the plan of the gospel and that laid out? Like, what is it that actually pierces their hearts, right? Like, what is it? If I'm completely honest, I don't. So the other night, my buddy, it was his birthday, And of course, we're like, you know what? We have to embarrass you. So we are going to go karaoke, and you are going to sing the song that I know you can't sing and you probably don't know. And so let me just set the stage. Big, burly, strong, tatted up black man with a gold tooth singing What Hurts the Most by Rascal Flatts. It was beautiful. You know, the funny thing was, he actually knew the words. I was like, you're not even looking at the screen. You know this. This is on your Apple Music playlist. It's a good song, though, I admit. But before he went up, there's a gentleman approached me, and he walks right next to me just like this. So he comes up to me, he walks next to me. He looks down at me, I'm looking up at him because I'm sitting down. So he's looking down at me, I'm looking up at him, and he's like, yo, what's up, man? And I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, my name is Shane. I'm like, hi, Shane. I'm like, I've never seen him before. And he immediately goes, yeah, you know, I'm from Florida. Guess what happened to me? I was addicted to drugs. I was going all out like that. I was partying and messing up like that and messing up my life. Was in and out of jail. And then I had an interaction with Jesus. And in my head, I'm thinking like, what? Is this really happening? He's like, I didn't have an interaction with Jesus. And, you know, I didn't stop everything right then, but he started to mold me and change me. And now I'm completely free. He said, now he moved me up. I'm in Alaska now. And now I'm serving in a church. And I'm like, you ain't all the way free because the brother had an ankle monitor on, right? But he said, God is using me in populations and in systems. And he's like, I absolutely love it. I just had to tell you. I walked away from that. I was super convicted because I started thinking like, when was the last time that I literally was that excited about the gospel where I was telling somebody about it? And I was with my three friends who could probably stand to hear it a little bit more. And thinking like, man, this guy, Shane from Florida, with the ankle monitor there, I had no idea, never met him before, came up to me, a stranger, just the confidence and the empowerment, just to walk up to somebody that you don't know and just start talking and sharing your story. Sometimes I feel like this, the gospel, that doesn't lose its power, but we get too desensitized to it as Christians, right? Meaning that we don't talk about it enough. We don't go over it enough. We don't reflect on it on our own lives. And so hopefully in this moment, as we're having this conversation, that we would do that, that you would reflect on the gospel and how it has changed your life and be able to put language to that. Is the gospel still relevant today? Yes. It pierces hearts. So, what actually happens when the gospel is being shared is like they're hearing this thing, they're hearing this action that's taken place, and at the same time, all these little circumstances that has happened in their life is starting to align with what they're hearing, right? Like maybe not stuff that you say out loud, but the conversations and the thoughts that you had about like philosophies in the world, and then at the very same time, all the conversation that God has been having with that person that we know in Romans 1:20, right? That everybody we know what actually is happening, that there's a creator because the world actually speaks of it, the mountains, the tide going in and out, almost like a conductor is conducting, the level of the tide, the rhythm of the water, just everything like that. God is speaking to us. So in alignment with the gospel, in alignment with that, and in alignment with what God has been saying to them, it comes a moment, and that's when their heart is absolutely pierced. So yes, it is very much relevant. It was relevant in the years past, it's relevant in today, and it's going to be relevant for years to come. Thing is, we, as Christians, need to do better at sharing the gospel and speaking the gospel and having it on the tip of our tongues, right? Just as much as you should be able to say, yo, hello, what's up, how you doing, how's it going? It should be that comfortable for you to be able to say it. And to get to that place, it actually takes practice. Like, this is something I don't think we talk about enough in church. Like literally, have you ever practiced saying the gospel? And if you haven't, I would almost say, when's the last time you actually said it to a person? One of the challenges that I would like us to walk out of here with is being able to share the gospel and speak the gospel. Being able to reference scriptures if you don't know it, to go, oh, that's where the gospel said, let me just share this with you. Because there's so much power in that. God uses it literally to pierce the hearts of those that he has called. One of the scriptures talks about the power of the gospel in Romans 1:16. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Is the gospel still relevant? Yes, indeed it is. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That didn't count because I made you guys say it. Question number two, does the gospel have any hope for our day? Yes, yes, and yes. And I want to answer this section with a couple of different scriptures talking about hope, right? So in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, talking about hope just for a second. Actually, before I talked about hope, I want to talk about what he's actually saying. So he's telling them they need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And so this is what he means. When he's saying repent, this is literally what it means. Sin's over there. Boom, sin. God's over there. Boom. That is the way. That is not the way. Are we in agreement with that? Right? Sin, not sin. Yes. What it means by repenting is literally turning your back, forsaking sin, and walking over towards God. So our whole lives, before we have answered to the call, we've been running towards sin. Boom, running towards sin. Ooh, yeah, I don't know how you guys run, but this is, I got long arms, so it looks awkward when I run. But at the same time, what happens when we hear the gospel and it aligns with those things, all of a sudden now we're looking this way. And we're still running, but as we're running, God is moving and changing and transitioning our hearts and opening our hearts. And so hopefully, by the time you're 40, and maybe you heard it when you were 20, and there's 20 years that passed, you're in a completely different direction than you were facing the sin. Maybe it's some other sins that you're trying to drop off, but you're in a completely different direction. God is continually calling us, he's continually transitioning us, and he's continually working on our hearts. Does that make sense? Forsaking our sin is turning our back on it and running headfirst towards God. And here's the thing I do want to remind people. I was talking to somebody, and somebody was saying, this person struggles with ABC. They still do. They can't be saved, right? I work, and my family has a lot of addiction going on in my family. And I've worked, and I've always worked in a field where addiction is, you know, the main issue that we're trying to get over. And the thing I have to remind people is, listen, maybe for 8,000 days, you have been doing ABC, right? And you know, you feel convicted, and you know that you need to drop this habit, and someone's coming up to you and saying, I know you think you're saved, but you're not, because you're still struggling with this. But if you can recognize that it's a struggle, and you can continually fight sin, it's a difference between just letting sin overtake you and actually have a fighting battle with it and allowing God to do the deep work on your heart, there's something there. And what's there means that you are his. And if you can confess the gospel and continue to fight that, you're doing your part. And so some people try to compare, like, no, this person completely dropped it cold turkey. Yeah, but it's a transition. Like, it takes time. Sometimes it's not a 180-degree turn right away. Sometimes it's a moment by moment by moment by moment. Maybe you're coming to a realization that you need to change your environment, that you need to change your friends, but that doesn't happen all the time, all at once. And maybe those things, you imply those things and put those things and implement those, and those things can help drop addiction or whatever it is, but some people are not there. But all I want to say is, if anybody is in that place, continue to fight sin day in and day out. Don't compare yourself to the journey of someone else. Right? Amen?
Amen?
So where does the hope come in? Well, the second part of that, so he says, repent, and the second part is baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. So what Peter's actually talking to is two different groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, right? The Gentiles could either be godless, or maybe they were serving different gods. But the gods that they were serving had nothing to do with the gods of the scripture. And so what he is saying is, he's saying, I want you to submerge yourself. Like, you think of water baptism, you are dunked in water. You're submersing yourself in the water. What he's saying about being baptized in Jesus Christ, submerge yourself in the identity of who Jesus is and relevance to this gospel, to everything that you just heard. The prophesying, what the scriptures are saying, it's not talking about any other God but Jesus Christ. Put on your identity and submerge yourself in Jesus. And he's saying the same thing to the Jews. Because the Jews, even though that they saw Jesus as a relevant figure, they didn't claim him as a Christ. So what he is saying is baptize yourself in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Everything that you know about your forefathers and God, remember that Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. He's not some distant person. No, he's God in the flesh. So baptize yourself in the name of Jesus Christ, who is literally God in the flesh. Does that make sense? So he's saying repent. He's saying baptize. And this is the thing where it gives us hope and definitely gives me hope. He says, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a little bit further, finish it off. This promise to you, to your children, to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from the crooked generation. So I want to tie in where this hope is. When Peter is saying, save yourself from this generation, what he is not saying is you by yourself save yourself. That's not what he's saying. He's implying that with the power of the Holy Spirit, you are empowered to separate yourself from everything that's going on in society, this crooked and wicked generation. By the gift of the Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to take that step and separate ourselves. Can I be completely honest? One person said that. I'm going to ask again. Can I be completely honest? I don't know how real we can get in this. There was a season where I was just talking about this to my sister a couple days ago. There was a season in my life where it was years ago, but it was tough. Like, I was in my feels, like, bad. There was a bunch of things happening, and it was one of those where it's like, if anybody were to give yourself a time where you can just mope for a couple of days, yeah, it was one of those seasons, right? And I literally was thinking this. I literally had this thought. In my family, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, that's a huge thing. I literally had this thought. I literally was thinking, you know what would make this better right now? Cocaine. I literally thought that. I don't struggle with cocaine, Pat, just to clarify. But I literally thought that. The hope that I get with the Holy Spirit is that no matter what sin I'm tempted with, he empowers me to fight temptation and walk out unscathed, right? That's a hope. No matter what, no matter where you are, no matter what season, how far down the line, no matter what temptation that you struggle with, or that you may struggle with in the future, the hope that we have as Christians, the hope that we have as believers in the Holy Spirit is that you will be empowered, no matter what situation you're in, to do the right thing, that God will empower you and empower your footsteps to walk in the direction that he has called you to, not towards sin, but towards him. There's another angle that I do want to look at when it comes to hope. Actually, I'm gonna read Romans 8, 18 through 27. Can you throw that up? If you look in your Bibles at this passage, that's a beautiful sound, by the way. Not clicking. Everybody turning pages. It'll say something like the future glory, or something that we're hoping for. So I'm going to read this. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Keeping in mind hope, right? For all children is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are against his will. And you know what? I think this is the wrong... Hold on. Nope, that's right. I'm sorry. NLT, ESV, right? Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up into this present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory, for we long for. Our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Remember now, because the Holy Spirit empowers us, we don't have to run this way. He empowers us to run towards God. Remember, no matter what sin you're fighting, the Holy Spirit can literally empower you and give you the hope that you're not going to be stuck in there forever. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed with words. And the Father who knows all knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us and believers in harmony with God's own will. The thing I want you to get out of that is that as believers, we're not putting our treasures on this earth, but our hope is for the future glory. One of the things that God does is he does miracles, right? Still does. Does miracles. And the miracles that we often see, we don't even really credit for. So what we usually think, when we usually think of miracles, we usually think these signs and wonders that we read in the book of Acts, right? Or all throughout scriptures and the gospels. We think of people being healed from leprosy. We think of the blind seeing, the deaf hearing. And those are the miracles that we usually think of. But one of the miracles, I believe, that we oftentimes overlook is the miracles of, in our own entire lives, what God has done and transitioned our hearts. The miracles from marriages being restored, the miracles from people dropping addiction. Like, we don't look at those internal miracles. We, matter of fact, we just almost like we overlook them all the time. But those in itself are huge miracles. Signs and wonders do happen, though. I don't know if you guys ever are like me, but sometimes you're like, God, you should do this all the time, right? Like, come on, now can I see something? Can you pull up the first picture? I went to Guatemala on a mission trip with a nonprofit, right? And I think I was the only black person there. I felt like in all Guatemala. It's so funny. I went there and I went to Japan before, and it's cute because the kids would come up to me. They've oftentimes never seen a black person before. So they're coming up and they're looking at me, and then they're just like poking me and just, and I don't get offended by it. It's kind of funny to me. But what you're looking at is it's about past that wall. We actually weren't allowed to take cameras in there, but you know, we live life on the edge. But past that wall, there's about 6 square football fields of a dump site, right? And what they did was they actually made this lower stricken poverty level and homeless people live there. And so within there, there's literally like communities and groups of people, there's schools in there, and people literally living there. And they made their houses out of things that they could find in this trash dump. It was really kind of disheartening. Can you go to the next picture? If you see the background, that's literally a bunch of trash they made from the house. What we did was we provided them food. I want to point your attention to this little boy that's right next to me. Coolest thing happened. So he was deaf, right? Could not hear. And so, you know, he's signing and all that stuff, and I'm trying to tell him where I'm from. I'm like, I don't know, West Side, Alaska, you know, West, I don't know. I don't know sign language. But one of my buddies, John the Brave, was like, yo, let's just pray for him. Let's just pray for him. And so we just start praying for him, and we only prayed a couple minutes. And somebody that was with our team was like, yo, can you hear me? And of course he couldn't hear, so he didn't say anything. I'm like, yo, can you hear me? Of course he didn't hear, so he couldn't say anything. And I don't know if the person asked him 4, 5, maybe 6 times, but on the 6th time, he responded. Like, I wish that I could have pictured and got a video of what the reaction of his face looked like when he responded and he heard a voice for the very first time. And then I wish I could have got a reaction of his mom's reaction, a picture of his mom's reaction. And when his mom was like, "You can hear?" And just his reaction is tears welling up in his eyes. And what that looked like. Here's the thing about signs and wonders. We oftentimes, I have friends who are like, "I just want to see a sign. I would believe if I had a sign and wonder." Not necessarily. You won't. Because there's a passage in Scripture where the Pharisees were literally with Jesus and this man with the withered hand, and Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees were like, "What? Did he just do that on the Sabbath?" And they completely did not believe and overlooked the fact that Jesus healed him and did a miracle right before their eyes. So signs and wonders doesn't necessarily mean belief, but for us as Christians, what it should mean, what I'd like to argue for you maybe moving forward, what it could mean, is it's hope. It's almost like water on your tongue in the middle of the desert, right? Like you think about those passages of the children of Israel walking through the desert and them, you know, Moses smacking the rock and water coming out, or the manna falling from heaven. That provided them hope to keep on going. And so hopefully now when you look at these signs and wonders and miracles, not only do you look at these miracles of the outward body, but you look at their own miracle that happened in yourself, in your heart, and those people that you know. And hopefully that provides you hope to continue on. I oftentimes ask this, my favorite question to ask. No matter who you are, everybody has this. This is a good conversation starter. Despite what you believe, what God you believe in, you're an atheist or not, whatever it is, was there a time where something happened and you were like, "Okay, I may not believe in God, but that made me raise an eyebrow"? To me, there's some things in life that no matter what happens, I always look back on, and that is definitely one of them. The transitions that have taken place in my heart as someone who's completely, God has transitioned over towards him. That's another miracle that I think and gives me hope. The people that I'm around and hearing other testimonies, those are miracles that should provide us hope. So is the gospel still relevant? Yes. Does it provide us hope? Yes. Thank you for the one person who answered. And lastly, how should we go about sharing? Like, right? Sharing the gospel. As I said in the beginning, I think a good challenge is for us as believers to get familiar with what the gospel is, how to say it. And at the same time, not just share the gospel, but also share how the gospel has impacted your life. Right? Like ankle monitor Shane that came up to me. Literally told me the gospel and then shared to me how it has impacted his life. And what changes has taken place. That's what people need to hear. So, in wrapping up, my goal is this, is the next time that you hear this sound of this, right, when you're holding the hammer correctly, that you would be reminded of the gospel no matter where you are. And you would be reminded of sharing the gospel. You would be reminded of what Jesus did for you, and you will be reminded of the hope that he has for us and he provides for us. I'm just gonna pray. Dear God, I just thank you right now for your people. Thank you for where you have them at. Thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for the hope that we have, that you give us, that you provide to us. Thank you for the people that you put in our lives. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your signs and wonders. Thank you for the deep work and the pierced hearts. We pray that you would continue. We pray that you would open up doors for us to have conversations about how the gospel has impacted our life. Pray for everybody here. Pray for the families. I pray for the conversations that are going to continue outside of these walls. And I pray that you would meet people in the moment when they have an opportunity to share just what you did. And I pray the Holy Spirit will empower them to speak confidently and boldly. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you empower us. Thank you that you guide our footsteps. I say this in your name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening. It is a joy to be able to share God's truth with you. Hopefully you found this teaching helpful to your understanding of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus in today's world, and hopefully you are inspired to take a further step of faith. Please let us know how we can be praying for you as you continue your journey. If you live in the Anchorage area, you are welcome to join us any Sunday. And we have an Awaken 101 event every 6 weeks, and this is also a great way to find out more about our church. Please sign up for that event by going to the events tab at our website, awakenalaska.com, and looking for Awaken 101. Feel free to share this podcast with your friends, and we will see you next week.